Welcome to Cosplay and Cocktails. This is Paige.
And I'm Jessie, as always.
As always. Hey, Jessie, welcome to the new Podloft.
This is my first time. I think it's definitely my first time recording the new Podloft. I think maybe I have popped in here since
it's become the Podloft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's definitely bigger.
Yeah, I like the wall color, which the being bigger is nice, especially for you, since you do a lot of your podcast crafting in here.
My podcast crafting.
You cosplay. it's the same thing at this point. Yeah, like it's not. I guess. I mean, it's not like we're just cosplaying because of the podcast, but you know what I mean.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Luckily for you, I knew what you meant. Yeah, we're really excited about that. Hey, you want to talk about a con that we got press passes for that we're gonna try to get to this year?
I think we're going. Like, I mean, we might. Yeah, like I don't. One way or the other, I think we're going to Dallas Fan Expo. We're not going to be able to go to Comic-Palooza this year, but luckily we got press passes to Dallas Fan Expo. The last Fan Expo we went to, the Fan Expo in St. Louis, they're not doing a Fan Expo in St. Louis this year because they're doing some upgrades to the convention center, that America Center there in St. Louis. So we really liked the cosplay program they had last time, though, at Fan Expo. So I'm excited to see a different Fan Expo. This is a con we've never been to in any iteration. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know if I've ever even been to Dallas before.
I don't know if I have either.
Like maybe to drive through or something, but I don't think I've ever actually been to Dallas, Dallas. So we'll be going to a new city, seeing our Texas friends, and covering that convention for...
Gonna go to the Stetson podcast.
Yeah, hopefully I can get myself maybe a new Stetson. Ooh, hey, speaking of which, I gotta talk to you about Birkenstocks after this.
All right, well, we'll have Birkenstock talk.
Yeah,
later.
I don't think the listeners are gonna all do Birkenstock.
That's
talk
fair.
With us. Yeah, really, if Birkenstock or Stetson one ever stumbled upon our podcast and wanted to send me literally anything for free, I would absolutely lose my shit.
Jessie, cocktail corner.
We had wine.
Wine time.
We spent some time discussing. We're having some Moscato d'Asti, and it says on the front DOCG.
Department of Corgi Gorgle.
That was Paige's guess, but on the back, it's actually, I'm guessing this is Italian since it says made in Italy or product of Italy, but it is Denominazione di Origine Controllata e Garantita.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, I didn't take Italian. We didn't have Italian.
We sure didn't.
That was the last little trickle there.
Yeah, we've had red wine. We're having some white wine now. Who knows where?
Ingredients, grapes, and sulfur dioxide.
Yep.
That's not true, though. I mean, like, they also had yeast to ferment it. Like, this is lies.
Lies.
Italy can lie? Like, that's lies. They got it. Grapes and sulfur dioxide. Sweet, who the fuck do they read that?
Sweet and refreshing Moscato d'Asti boasts flavors of stone fruit, citrus, and honey. Enjoy before dinner or with soft cheeses, spicy fare, and dessert.
They don't get to tell me what I enjoy with it. I had Taco Bell, though. That's spicy fare.
we've had some corner. Wine. Who knows where it's the night's going to go from here.
I hope... I don't like when you say that. I like knowing where the night goes from here.
Jessie, you feeling curious about anything?
I sure am, pal.
Something's on my mind. That means question time. I'm gonna ask you a question.
As a reminder, this question is generally foreshadowing for the episode. Get you ready for it. Also, this question is for you as well, listener, not just for Paige. What is, listener and Paige, your favorite wig that you've ever used for cosplay? And you can interpret favorite however you wish.
So I think that just on looks alone, which is how I am interpreting favorite, I'm going to go with my Outlander, my Claire Frazier wig. I just really love it. I just think it's really pretty. It's got really good curls. It looks really natural. I've had multiple people like ask me if it's real, like if it's my real hair, which I'm like, I wish. But it's just one of my favorites. I have a bunch of wigs that we have used for multiple things, or I've used a lot of times. My blonde Buffy wig is one that I think has definitely gotten its, like, worth out of. You know, I've gotten my worth out of. Yeah,
that when I had, your Buffy wig had crossed my mind for my favorite wig, because I've worn it 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. You've gotten a lot of use. Like, it was a good investment.
Yeah.
And it's stayed so nice and so natural. Mm-hmm. I've worn it, like I said, I think at least 3 times mm-hmm. that I've worn that wig for a costume. So, it's a really solid wig.
It's good. She's a good one. What about you?
Again, my interpretation is just kind of the one that's been the most fun in general. It's definitely not my most comfortable wig. Also, I think part of the reason I like this wig so much is you were saying, like, I wish you, that you wished your Outlander wig mm-hmm. was your real hair. As someone who has very fine hair, I've got a lot of hair, but it is, like spider web consistency. It's just like a bunch of black spider webs. And the only time that my hair, like my dream hair would be Merida from Brave.
Oh yeah.
But, alas, that's just the only time my hair gets big is when there's...
I can perm it.
You would never perm it. I try to get you to perm it for me. I try to get you to give me Alison Krauss hair, and you won't do it. I try to get you to give me a Regine from Arcade Fire perm. I try to get you to give me an Alison Krauss bangs.
Yeah, well, I'm in the mood.
Now that we've had a bottle and a half of wine.
I don't have perm rods or perm solution here, so we're...
So you're going to just make it up in your kitchen like a potion.
You're safe.
Like a witch's brew. Yeah,
we could go to town. I know somebody that has perm solution.
We're not doing that. We got to call my mom to take us to get perm solution, and she says she can't do it because it'll be 9 o'clock at 2 a.m.
Yep.
No.
So then we call Kim, and then I whisper to you, we got to go to
my chicken. Yeah, we need to get my chicken.
Anyway.
It's absolutely imperative that we get...
So, what's your favorite wig?
My favorite wig is my Rococo wig, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just been the most fun to accessorize. Like, I love accessorizing. That's, I think, why I love cosplay. I love all the little details, like accessories. Yeah. Like, that's my favorite of anything. So, I think that's why I like that wig so much. It's like thinking, like, ooh, here's like a little... Like, first, it is such a statement to wear because it's 3 feet tall. So, you know, like... it adds, you know, over half of my height to me.
Yeah.
And then, I guess it's not quite 3 feet. It's 2 feet.
I was going to call you out on it.
Well, I don't like, I don't like being wrong.
I don't like exaggerating anything. I would never exaggerate.
I would literally never. But...
It's
very striking. It's so different from like it's almost the opposite of your Claire wig. Right. No one's gonna ask if that's what I'm wearing. And getting like I've gotten a lot of, it was a very affordable wig, mm-hmm. so it gave me the freedom to play around with it, to try new things and not worry about, you know, destroying this $60, $70, $80 wig. And it's been fun, like, repurposing it, like, and figuring out how, because it is such a cheap wig, to repurpose it and it still look decent. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's probably on her last... I don't think I'll be able to get another costume out of it, but...
I mean, in the same token, like, my Rococo wig is one of my favorites, too, just because... And it did cross my mind, just because it's one that I've dyed it. It was the first wig I dyed. Mm-hmm. And I was so proud once I finally figured out how to do that with how well it turned out. It did. And I liked it the first go around when I wore it the first time. And then I had sewn things into it. And this time I had to sew things into it. And I added elastic to it to make it a little bigger this last time. Like, it's just one that I've really kind of experimented mm-hmm. with. And it's gone well. Yeah. Thank God. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like cosplay. Like, we're always proud of the ones that we take risks on and it goes well.
And the risk works out well. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, and that's, it's like you said, it's something to wear, like, when you take a risk and it works out well, especially when it is something that you can afford. Like, that's the biggest, like, to me, that's one of the hardest parts of cosplaying is, you know, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of cosplayers. We don't have infinite amounts of money and a lot of cosplay, like, supplies are expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, wigs get expensive. fabric gets expensive, patterns get expensive, glue gun, sewing machines, you know, thousands of dollars for a good, so like some of this.
There's a lot of times that with a cosplay, like we are working on a cosplay for we're working on cosplays for Indiana Comic Con right now. Right. And I just ordered fabric and, like there's a lot of times I have to split it up and like buy some fabric 1 week and then some fabric the next week or whatever. And this time I even like, I needed some, like chiffon fabric, but it was super expensive through.
What are you using chiffon for?
Well, whatever that
top. Oh, I forgot. There's like that weird top.
So
I was just thinking, picturing it satin.
Like for this, this chiffon I needed, Joann's was super expensive and they didn't have the right color. Mm. Thank God I thought to check Amazon and I bought like wedding table runners and I got them for a way better price. So like, you know, we have to find ways like that to, we bought curtains
like
and
you may
stuff
have to
like
piecing together other fabrics. Like those table runners are probably not very wide, but they're probably nice and long.
Yep. 10 feet long.
Yeah. So then like you can maybe take it the other way around or like sew two or three of them together if you need to. Like those are risks that like I guess it's kind of being on a budget forces you to be more creative. Yeah, that's I think another thing that I like about cosplaying is thinking of creative ways to make something that is not very expensive look expensive. Like when we were loading up to go to Evansville Con, the last con we went to, the Evo Con, a muggle, a non-con person saw us heading to the con and she complimented our costume. She was like, you can tell there's a ton of money in there. So I was like, really isn't. Like mine was not that much. And I'm sure if I sat down and added it up, it would probably be more, more than I realized. But like,
well, and I think
like, to me, that was like one
in
of
our
the
cosplay journeys where like, we take things from other cosplays a lot of time to add to our cosplays now. Or like we have leftover fabric or leftovers. So we don't think about all the money we spent previously.
I reckon I probably had less than $100.
Oh, I did too, for sure.
So, which again, I guess like to some people might be expensive, like an outfit that you're going to wear.
But it's really not in the world.
Right. Like, yeah, like you, if you have ever cosplayed or you know anything about cosplay, which I'm assuming you do if you're listening to this podcast, like that's nothing. Like trying to explain to my boyfriend like the money that some people spend on really an outfit that you might wear one day, or you know, like I was like, there are cosplayers who spend thousands of dollars on their cosplay and it's so bulky or impractical that they may literally wear hours a year. And like that, like, but again, you know, some people spend thousands of dollars a year on drugs or lottery tickets or whatever. Like for us, it's cosplay. Yeah. Like
this is our addiction.
Yeah. Like that's the impractical thing that gives us dopamine.
So, on today's episode.
Foreshadowing.
You guys have heard. A couple months ago, CNT Publishing reached out to us and we're like, hey, you guys want to work with us? We want to send you books to review. And we were like,
here's a list of cosplay books.
Choose what you want.
Which was insane. Like,
Jessie called me and she's like, you're going to lose your damn mind.
I was like, you are going to freak out. Like,
because she knows I love a cosplay book. Like,
and it's just such a cool opportunity. Yeah. You know, like, we always super appreciate, like, you know, we're happy to do things like this because, you know, it gives us a way to do things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. Like, for us to purchase all of the books that they sent us would be, you know, difficult for us to also spend money on the, you know, every dollar we spend on something else is a dollar we can't spend on cosplay or a dollar we can't spend on going to cons. So, you know, when a convention gives us press passes or a convention or media passes or whatever, or when a convention gives us, you know, time to do a panel or
Any opportunity we get with this podcast is worthwhile.
Or a cosplayer or an author or, you know, anyone reaches out to us and wants to be on the podcast. We always super, super, and we of course appreciate the people that we reach out to as well. Like,
it's just exciting when people reach out to us.
Yeah, it's exciting to
kind of like, oh, we've been recognized.
And yeah, then it's exciting to be able to do things that we couldn't do otherwise. To do things that we had kind of always dreamed about doing.
Yeah.
Like, again, honestly, I'm gonna start crying. I should not have had the wine. I've been in such an emotional wreck, and now, but like, I mean, honestly, when we started the podcast, did you ever think that like we would be getting into most of the conventions we go to? We do not pay for. Mm-hmm. We get media passes. That's not me flexing. That's just me being grateful. That's me being so great. Like, I'm gonna cry. I'm really not. Like, or did you ever think that people would be like, "Hey, here's free books."
Yeah.
Cosplay, but
like, well, or like the last con we went to, like we walked up and we were like, "Hi," and they were like, "Oh, are you cosplaying cocktails?" Yeah. And we were like, "Who?"
Yeah, Paige was like, "Oh, yes, we are." Yeah, we worked it like,
or like going to a cosplay contest and being like, "Hey, we have press badges," and then being like, "Right this way, let us take you to your special seating."
Yeah, like, make us take it. Yeah, like it just makes it a lot easier to do the podcast that we love.
It's
so much,
a really cool opportunity, and I think we started this thinking like it would just be a fun thing to do, and of course we had these like, wouldn't it be cool if XYZ happened?
Yeah,
and now like, XYZ is happening.
The first press pass that we got, I was like, I can't believe it. And like now every single time I'm still like, I can't, wow.
Why?
Yeah, thanks. Like,
gee gollies.
Gee, thanks, mister. Gonna buy one of my peeps and now I don't have to eat them.
So.
That was my Newsies impression.
So C&T Publishing reached out to us, asked us, you know, which cosplay books we'd like to check out. They wanted us to review them, and we were like, oh my gosh, absolutely. So they sent us, I mean, we've gotten like two or three shipments
at this
point.
Yeah, this is going to be the first episode in, a pretty substantial series.
Yeah.
Of cosplay books that we've gotten and that we've...
Yeah, and we're going to give you our true review. Yeah. You know, we are super thankful to get these.
Yeah, they did send us the books for free, but they didn't give us any instructions or they're not like, you know, paying us to advertise for them. They just sent them to us to like review copies. Yep. So we're going to give you our full,
our review,
honest opinion.
So the first one we're going to do today is The Art of Extreme Wig Styling, and that's by Regan Serrato of Cowbutt Crunchies Cosplay. A very, very famous cosplayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very famous cosplayer. This book is beautiful. Jesse and I have talked about this.
I think that a lot of it is that we both think this costume on the front is
probably.
It's one we've seen before.
Yes.
And
it's got all the elements. Like,
yeah, like I love the fish in the, like, we'll have to upload a picture of them.
For sure. So we're just going to kind of go over just a base guide of what's in this book and things we think are cool.
Yeah.
Kind of give you an idea. So contents, pretty cool. Jesse, really like this part of the content.
Oh yeah. When we were looking through the book, I really liked that, there's a section of the book called Extreme Projects, and in the contents, it gives you a picture of like a professional picture of a costume that shows that particular technique with in the wig. So like if there are terms, like, again, I know next to nothing about, like, Paige was talking, like, she'll talk about this later, but like we're talking about like some of the styles and like I have no idea what any of those terms mean, or like a lot of the like hair / wig terminology. Yeah. I have no idea what I would to call it. And so I like that it gives you a visual picture to refer to, so like if you see it and you're like, oh, that's the thing. So then like it also gives you a place to like search for more information.
Yeah.
And you can.
We like a visual guide. Cosplayer's a visual. It's a very visual guide to where you can find
things.
I like
that it has the pictures matched up to the technique so that you can see that and be like, oh, that is cool. I'd like to try that. And then flip directly to that particular section.
So it just kind of, this book just kind of starts out with giving the basics of a wig. It has kind of a map of a wig and talking about the different parts, the wig cap, the netting, the crown, the, you know, the different parts, and the different parts of a weft as well. I think that's I think that's interesting as someone who has taken a wig partially apart before.
See, I've taken a wig apart, but I didn't know any of these names. I was just like, hair strip come out. Like,
hair strip come out.
Yeah, that's like, my rose quartz wig, I bought two of the same wig and then deconstructed one and attached it to the second one. I had to sew in the second one onto the first one. And I could not have told you the names of any of those. So it's like good to, again, that's,
I don't
it's
know
good
that
to learn the terminology because then you have more resources to search for it.
Well, that's like, what I was going to say. Like if you're just going in and trying it, like you don't need to know the names, but if you're trying to follow somebody else's instructions and you're like what the hell are they talking about? Then you already
the
know.
Thing that it reminds me of is like classical music. And this is my way to weasel that in here. Like there are a lot of times that I will hear, like I'll catch the tail end of a piece on the radio or something and they won't say what it is. And then trying to search for it later when I don't know, like anything. I might be able to guess the rough era. I might be able to guess a composer, but like, how do you describe, mm-hmm. you know, something that's all audio, you know, right. And then like literally what I'll end up doing is like trying to figure out like what key is it in, and then maybe that can narrow down a piece or like what like, so it's the same thing with like, you know, when you can picture something in your head but you don't have that terminology to Google it, like mm-hmm. if you can't, like
if you're like, what's that side piece to a wig, yeah, that's like,
or like I want to make my wig look like this, but what is this,
right.
like in my head, like, so I really like that it said, you know, it's like, this is what this is called, this is what this mm-hmm. is called,
right.
and matches it up with those pictures, like that I think is really helpful, like not only to find information in this book, but to help you beyond, like if you want to go beyond,
right.
or if there's, oh well, this particular technique wasn't really covered in the book, to help you search for it, because like I said, I would not, It's hard to get that terminology. It's hard to search for something
right.
online if
when
you
don't know
what
you're looking for.
Yeah, like if you don't know what to put in.
Right.
So I really liked that.
Yeah, for sure. So then the chapter kind of goes on to talk about different fibers, different types of wigs, and what they're made of, and, you know, what would be good for what projects. They give a layout of different styling tools, things they consider essential. All of these, I think, are great options. I, you know, it took me a really long time to realize that got to be spray was really ideal for styling wigs.
Got to be free spray,
yeah.
by Schwarzkopf.
It's amazing. Then it gives additional tips and tools. You know, different things that works for and what they're good for, which I think is great. Glues, sprays, you know, clips, whatever. It talks, there's a whole section about different glues, which I really think is interesting. Because I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but a cosplayer once told me, like, I need to quit looking at wigs
it was
as
on the
natural
podcast.
It was on the podcast, yeah, and I've talked about it before as like my favorite mm-hmm. tip, but like I need to quit looking at wigs as like I'm doing hair as a beautician.
Yeah, you need to look more at
plastic,
like fabric
plastic or fabric, and use glue and stuff like that instead.
I know people
of,
that used to style their head with Elmer's glue,
yeah.
like school glue,
right.
in high school. Tag,
I was gonna say,
if you're listening,
I know who you're talking about.
I'm looking at you, pal.
So the next part, as a hairstylist, I think is really interesting. It's all about styling, and the very first part is about different kind of cutting techniques, you know, blunt cutting, point cutting, cutting with razor versus scissors. And I think it has, as someone who cuts hair, I think it has pretty good pictures.
Yeah. So we talked about this before, and I think if you at least already sort of knew what you were doing,
mm-hmm.
it would probably be enough. For me, just these pictures would not be enough for me to know.
But,
like,
okay, with the pictures and this, would that help at all?
Probably not. Like, it's just, again, not knowing that terminology. Like, I would need to see what they meant.
Drag your razor over the hair.
Right, but, like, how much pressure? How, like, what motion? Drag it this way or drag it this way?
Like, press down with a light to moderate pressure.
Okay, but, like, again,
yeah.
light to moderate, and should, what angle should the blade be
mm-hmm.
at? Like, I just think it'd be more helpful for me personally.
With the video.
To see a video. To
yeah.
actually be able to see that movement. Mm-hmm. But, again, that's more to do with just, like, my personal
yeah,
preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, again, we talked about this when we first started reviewing the books, that, like, when I first learned to knit, I took a knitting class, and I was, like, the worst student in the class. Like, everyone else went to go look at yarn, and I literally was like, God damn, and I had this, like, knotted
yeah.
mess, and I couldn't figure it out in the thing, and what I needed to do was be able to go home and, like, see a YouTube video so I could, like, meticulously look at, like, what are their hand motions doing, and then get that muscle memory. So for me, it's a lot about like seeing the motion repeated over and over and again. So like not being able to see it here would be difficult for me. But
and that's fair because I am going at this already knowing
that's what
most of these techniques anyway in a normal hair cutting setting. I still think they look like pretty good.
But instructions. And again, if you knew, like I again literally know, like it's something I know next to nothing about.
Right.
So if you had more, like if you had like tried to style some things before, you knew what generally you were going for, it might be more useful. But for me personally, like this would not be enough for me to feel like I was ready to cut a wig like that. Now, one thing I do think it's useful for is again, like blunt cut. That's not a term I would have known before reading this book. Or, you know, angled cutting or, you know, like those words, you know, like I know what angled means. I know what cutting means, but like thinking of those together and like what that actually means for wig styling.
This I would not call it angled cutting.
Well, again.
To me as a hairdresser, this is point cutting. It's the exact same thing. It's just called different.
Well,
things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, and it's probably written, you know, it's not going to be written for a hairdresser because they're going to assume you don't need this section.
Right.
So, like, but giving, like, again, that to me for like, again, just me personally would be the biggest like benefit I would get from this. Like I definitely couldn't like reading this and looking at this, there is no way that I would use that to cut, like try to cut a wig. I would look up a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And that's, like I said, that's not anything negative against the book. That's just my preference. Like I know there are people who, you know, like don't want to have to go back and rewind. Like I like being able to go back and rewind and literally see the exact same thing
over and over again. Yeah.
So if you are a person who, you know, like would rather read the instructions and like interpret that on your own, I think it comes down to like being very like more, you know, I like this and this and this, like regimented person and like finding the way that I want to do it and doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think that's what, like, I think this would be good for someone who more likes to play around with things. Whereas I like to before I'm like a measure twice, cut once person in general. Like, I would rather watch it 500 times and get it down than mess around with it and screw up a whole bunch. Sometimes you just have to mess around with it and screw up a whole bunch. But, so I guess the short version of that is they're as good for me, as good as a written description and static pictures can be, they are that. But personally, I would prefer to see moving, like a video. But that's obviously not possible in a book.
In a book,
so.
Yeah. So the next chapter is on different ways you can work with heat with wigs, which I think is also really helpful because it just depends on your fibers and the look you're going for.
Can I just say how much I love the Squirtle wig?
This Squirtle wig is amazing.
I love, that's like, I think my favorite thing that has been done with wigs in this entire book is like the making of an accessory. Like if I were doing this, I would have made that turtle shell like a headpiece. Yeah. Like I would have made it, 3D printed it, sculpted it, but they have made it out of actual hair
fiber
or like, like wig fiber. And that is very cool.
It's very cool.
That's my favorite thing in the whole book.
Squirtle.
Not just the Squirtle. There's like a flower that's been sculpted out of.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Again, I would.
The Bulbasaur.
Right. I would have.
Venusaur.
I think it was Ivysaur, but Ivysaur. I don't know.
Shit.
I think it's.
Ivysaur. I got all my Pokemon wrong.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to see it again, but, that is something that I would have made out of. So just the idea, like again, just thumbing through it to get ideas, is also.
Yeah.
You know, or just be like, oh, hey, that's cool. Like seeing things again, it's kind of like social media with me not being very much on social media. Reading these books, I saw a lot of cosplays that I wouldn't have otherwise seen. I saw a lot of cool new things I hadn't seen before in cosplay that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. Yeah. So
it just kind of goes over, you know, working with the flat iron, working with the curling iron, working with the steamer, which is one of my favorite tricks for... It's one of my favorite tricks
for... Does
that
have a steamer?
Right there.
Oh, that's a steamer?
Yep.
Oh.
For working with...
I thought that was a trash can.
That's fair.
That's where it would go if I were doing it.
steamer has been one of my...
Step five.
My favorite things with a wig. showing how to use heat to, you know, make your spikes stand up, showing, you know, just showing different ways to do flips and spikes, and really, really cool tips in there. The next chapter is on dyeing wigs, which, mm-hmm. let me tell you, I think this is maybe my favorite part. It's got, wig, you know, basics and, you know, pros and cons and all that stuff.
I was going to say, that's one of my favorite things that it talks about is the, should I, like, kind of more of the advice mm-hmm. thing. It, like, so there's a section called, should I color my wig? And they openly admit in the section, like, it's hard to... Mm-hmm. Like, so if you can,
yeah, do it.
Yeah, like, if you can, like, if you can find it and you can find it for in your budget, like, try to buy it the correct color. But if you can't, like, here are some options. Like, we understand that that may not be possible. Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have had this book when I did my Rococo wig, because I just kind of was throwing stuff at the wall trying to color it, and I finally figured it out, but it took me a while. And I think this would have helped. This next page is my favorite. It has the iDye Poly color chart and the Rit Dymore color chart, and kind of shows, like,
for the different wig brands. Like, yeah. Arda, which is probably, I would say Arda is, like, the number mm-hmm. one cosplay wig brand. We're yeah. not being paid by them at all.
No.
But they're just the ones I know, yeah. the most people who use their wigs. And then they even have underheated dye. So, like, if you don't heat it up enough, here's what color it'll be, mm-hmm. which A, could be like a, hey, make sure you heat it up, but also could be like, if you don't want it to be like, it's much more pastel. Yeah, like, yeah. So if you want something like really pastel and you can't find that pastel dye, mm-hmm. like, here's.
Yeah, it's a great little chart, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of information.
And I think we can look to verify this, but I've seen this before. Before I read the book. So I'm mm-hmm. almost positive that this is on either Cowbook Crunchy's website or somewhere on their social media.
And I really like down here, it says, you know, that this one is easy to save for later. And they found that Rit was far less smelly than iDye Poly. And
I would love to know. I wonder if Rit has what... their chemical composition, or like either of these. I'd just be interested.
It gives their experience with the different kinds yeah. of dyes, which I really like. I think that's helpful. Because it's all going to react differently to different fibers and stuff. Yeah. So, and then it goes through, you know, like different ways to dye things, you know, different mm-hmm. ways. It goes into dyeing with markers, which is something that Jesse has yeah, experience with.
So I mentioned this before when I did, this was back during the pandemic mm-hmm. when we were still sheltering in place, and I did my Mrs. Coulter cosplay. I could not find like a golden monkey right. brush, at least not for like, there was one like from Germany that was like, Germany has like a lot of weird niche plushes for some reason. And it was literally like $60, $70, yeah. and it wasn't even that close. And again, this was a costume that I put together fully intending never to wear. I still have never worn it to a convention. I love it. It's one of my favorite costumes. I just felt really mm-hmm. badass in that costume. Like, I felt like I looked fucking amazing in it. Now, the shoes, that was the thing. I bought gold heels. Ooh. Why? I don't really, like, it was the pandemic. Stuff, weird stuff was happening.
Yeah.
I would never wear the shoes that I wore yeah. outside of my house.
Yeah.
But I needed, like, it. Her demon is very clearly, like, a golden monkey. Yeah. So I needed a way to get it gold. And I tried to dye this monkey with dye. And it didn't work at all. I tried multiple different things to dye this plush monkey. And he needed to have a blue face and golden fur. And what I ended up doing for both was using a marker, like coloring it in with permanent marker. And they go into that technique in here, which I think the marker technique, I don't think it was for wigs specifically, because I wouldn't have thought to mm-hmm. Google for wigs since it wasn't a wig, it was a plush. But... it was for like synthetic fabric, if you're having trouble dyeing synthetic fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for that project, that worked quite well. So that, but that's not something that before reading this, again, I wouldn't have made the connection to wig
yeah.
Probably on my own. So that's something I'd definitely love to try again, because it was, It was a little bit time consuming because I did have to sit there and kind of, you know, like color every mm-hmm. individual bit. Mm-hmm. But like overall, it was really worth it.
Yeah.
It, like, and it's held up really well. I should take a picture of said monkey and how well he is. Now, he hasn't been washed very much.
Yeah.
I think I've washed him once or maybe twice at the most. But again, something like that, a wig or a plush, you wouldn't need to wash much. It's not a garment. Like, right. I've never washed any of my wigs.
Right.
Maybe one or two, yeah. like, but, or like something that I've dyed, I've washed. But like, you know, just a regular wig, I don't wash.
My first wig that I ever bought, which was my...
If it gets real sweaty or gross, I might spray out the inside with alcohol, but I'm not washing
My Amy Pond wig... she's been washed and set and restyled just because she was starting to get really ratty, and that helped.
Yeah.
Like, it helped her. But
I guess I washed my Sailor Moon wig to try to but there was nothing helping her.
She was too gone.
She's
For the same thing with the marker, one thing I thought was really interesting mm-hmm. in this one is that they talk about coloring. Like, making a natural root on maybe a really blonde wig that doesn't look super natural. So, it looks like you have a little bit of new growth. I've never thought to do that with a marker. However, during one of our... I think it was when we did our neck up, makeup cosplay challenge. And I did Harley Quinn. I used a wig that I had bought for iZombie. And Harley Quinn has these, like, super, super dark shadow root. Like, really, really outgrowth, you know, from her blonde. And I use makeup. I use black eyeshadow to give her this, like, illusion of a root. But this is a more permanent option, which I like, too. That was not... Which I didn't want one at that point. But I thought that was interesting to use a marker.
Yeah.
They also talk about using artist ink for dyeing, which is... I tried to use this ink on my Rococo wig, and I'm guessing I just did it wrong. So this is... something I will be. Yeah, it's just got things like I've never heard of. They go into coloring ombre and techniques for that. And then we get into the extreme styling. So that's what Jesse's talking about in the contents they had picture references.
So like more unnatural, I guess. Yeah, like anime style wigs or like, you know, something that you would not see in a natural hair.
So Wes, dealing with Wes, how to sew them in, how to rearrange them and turn them into updos. So a lot of times you'll flip your weft upside down and sew it along the border, the perimeter of your wig if you're going to wear it in an updo style.
That's what I did for some of the wefts for my rose quartz wig.
Yeah, that's something I've never done yet, but I think it would help a lot. Or if you have, they've got pictures here, but if you're doing like a pigtail situation, like for a Harley Quinn, so that you don't have a wig cap showing or
which is hard.
They talk about, you know, different thicknesses of wigs, filling in mistakes and filling in thin parts of the wig, and then we get into the crazy shapes and volume and how they achieve that, whether it's with foam or teasing or, you know, adding those wefts in. And just I think they kind of map out, you know, the shapes they make with foam or you know, the teasing or whatever, and show how they create those looks, which I think is a really neat way to do that. They have a whole chapter on the teasing and how to get different kinds of volume out of that, which I know a lot about teasing, but some of this is crazy to me.
To me, this brush here that they're using, that's for a stained glass.
Nope, that is a back combing brush.
That's not wire?
No.
Oh.
They talk about different glues to work with foam when you're working with wigs, which I think is interesting. How to get your hair to stay on your foam, making different shapes. All of this is stuff that I could have used in the past. Yeah. I'm thinking like, some of our Sailor Moon wigs would have been helpful. They talk about, like Jesse did, sewing wigs together. They've got a whole section on that, which is amazing.
And again, we didn't have this book yet when I did that wig, but it was a very similar tutorial online that I followed to sew those two wigs together.
Yep, and then we get into, you know, wavy spikes and removable hair pieces. We're not going to go. I'm not going to explain
the
all
whole
these.
Last section is things like
specialized,
that.
Specialized. Yeah. Scales. Fiber scales. How cool are those?
Yeah. It's like it's a difficult technique to master.
The flower. That's beautiful.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like,
just super, super interesting stuff. They, of course, give, different resources at the end for buying guides. Yeah. So, once again, thank you so much to CNT Publishing and Fanpower Press for our first book. I'm super excited to...
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting thing in there. Overall, I think if you are, like me, a very, very beginner, it's probably going to be...
overwhelming.
Like you might want to start somewhere else. But it says for the ambitious wigsmith right on
right.
the top. Like they're tougher projects.
Yes.
Like more so, you know, it may not be for everyone. And again, like for me, like the more I thought about it, I think that whether or not this might be a book for you kind of depends on your like cosplay learning style, I guess, or how you attack cosplays. Like I think you love a book more than me because of like just our differences. Like you like to have like a, here is a step by step. And I like to see how someone did something.
And then you
like,
go, I do it my own way.
Yeah. Like I like to do the Ron Swanson, like, can, is there a project I can help you with? And I know more than you.
Yeah.
Well, just like I said, because a lot of them do take like, you know, money that I don't have or time that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So, but there definitely is still something, even if you are someone like me who, again, like my go-to is to, look at YouTube videos or look at other things and be like, how could I do that my way?
Right.
There definitely are a lot of cool things that I wouldn't have seen or thought of otherwise that you could figure out how to do,
right.
Your own way. And if you are someone who does want more of a, like, here is the right way to do it, or, you know, here is the, like, the way that we achieved this, like, then I think you would really, really like it. There's just, and, you know, also it's nice to have, like, instead of having to go to Google and try to, like, hunt down this wig tutorial or that, you know, this gives you a place where there is pretty much... any technique, any product, you know, any look that you might want to achieve is all in one place in this book. So instead of having to have 500 bookmarks or having to be like, oh, where did I see that? You know, that color chart of all the different writ dyes with the Art of Wigs. Like I said, I know I've seen that somewhere before, probably on Cowbutt Crunchies, either their website or social media, but I cannot tell you where.
Right.
I probably do have it bookmarked in one of my... literally thousands of copies.
I mean, that's something we're going to definitely come across as we're reviewing these is a lot of this is stuff you can probably find similar information to on the internet, but it just depends on your learning style and...
Well, and like also it's a way that you can support the cosplayers.
Absolutely.
If like that's something that you want to do, you know...
And now I have this beautiful cosplay
like
book.
It's...
I'm
similar
like
to,
now
you know, like,
hoarding my cosplay.
You know,
books.
Like, you know, it's similar to like podcasters or YouTubers that have a Patreon. Like, you get a little bit of extra stuff and in exchange for giving, like, helping them out financially. And I like that that's a way that you could give back to cosplayers who you are getting inspiration from or you are learning techniques from. It's a nice way to give back to them and have a tangible return on that as
sure. So again, thank you to CNT Publishing and Vampire Press. We really appreciate it. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay and Cocktails Pod. We're also over on the Tiki Talk at Cosplay and Cocktails. You can just follow along with us and hang out, or you can send us stuff there. But if you really have a lot to send us, pop on over to the email or the website, because that's where Jesse hangs out.
Our website, you can contact us directly from there. You can also find the podcast on really any podcast player. If it's a podcast player, we're probably on there. We're on ones we didn't even know we were on. So, that's maybe not the most professional thing to say, but here we are. You can also leave us a review. There is my favorite feature of the website, which is a categorized list of every episode so that you can, if you really want to listen to interviews, if you really want to listen to, we'll probably start a new one of book reviews because I really will have several. So if you want to hear our cosplay book reviews, if you want con coverage, if you want cosplay challenges, if you love Top 5 Geek Down, they're all there categorized. There's also by season as well. So if you want to check that out, it's Cosplay and Cocktails. No, that it's not that. Don't go to, that's not it. podpage.com/cosplaypod. If you'd like to email me, you can send me weird fish pics, interesting plants and mushrooms, log ideas, just log information about logs.
Don't worry about why.
You can send us cosplay recipe, no, cocktail.
Cosplay recipes.
I mean, you can send us cosplay recipes. If you just want to send me a completed cosplay in my size, I would just absolutely love that.
I will get back to you on what cosplay to make that. I'm trying to think what one she'd be like, God damn it, not this one.
Fucking Bella Swan. anyway, you can send us cocktail recipes, mocktail recipes, cosplays you want us to feature, answers to the I'm going to ask you a question. This episode's question was, what's your favorite wig that you've used for a costume? We'd love to hear about it. If you have suggestions for us, things we should cosplay, conventions we should go to, cosplayers we should have on the podcast, episodes, ideas, anything like that, really just like, let's have a conversation, listener.
Let's talk about it.
Will I forget about your email for 2.5 weeks because I have ADHD? It's possible, but I'm going to really try to be better on that in the second half of 2023.
Mid-year resolution.
I'm going to have a hot person summer, and I'm going to work on myself.
Yeah,
it's
girl.
Almost a summer.
Almost.
Hopefully it won't be a cruel summer.
Oh, Jesus.
It'll be a cool summer.
All right, well.
And with that, listener.
Yeah, we're done.
You can email any of that, your favorite Bananarama song, to cosplayingcocktailspod@gmail.com.
That's gmail.com.
Do you know, I think we should change how we end the episode.
Tell me.
Do you know, instead of doing, are we done?
Yep.
I think we should go, well, I guess it's time we best be scooting. Well, I reckon it's time we best be scooting.
Well, that's what you say. So what do I say to get you to say that?
Get along, little doggies.